Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Thank you. And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another Monday night installment here at Your Remedy Is in the Law. Tonight, of course, we're discussing various offensive litigating strategies. And this is with our speaker, Mr. David Merlin. My name is Martin Michaels. I'll be your host for this evening's conference brought to you by Your Remedy Is in the Law, which is in direct affiliation with Americans Restoring America. Before we get started with this evening, though, it is very important that I provide you with the following disclaimer.
Nothing that you hear on this call tonight may be deemed by you in any way, shape, or form to be legal advice. If you are on this call because of a situation in your life where you require legal advice, I very politely ask you to hang up the phone. Now, we don't mean to sound rude when we say this. We just want to express to everyone in no uncertain terms that anyone joining this call looking for legal advice has no place or business here. Nobody here at Your Remedy Is in the Law or any of the programs offered by Americans Restoring America is a lawyer, attorney, or any member of the bar. Therefore, no one here is able to offer you any legal advice. Should you require legal advice, my advice to you would be get an attorney. As for these calls, they're all just for entertainment purposes. It's just folks saying what they might do where they're similarly situated to you. You might get a little bit of education out of it, but mainly you're just going to get folks' opinions about what they might do. However educated and experienced these thoughts and opinions might be, they are just people's opinions nonetheless. And it's always up to you to do your own due diligence. All right, on to the next subject. I'd like to go over a few things here with Your Remedy Is in the Law, if I could, very quickly. First of all, if I can take everybody to the homepage of www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com. If we look up in the upper right-hand corner, we see a little picture of the Constitution. Click on that, and you'll have a separate page come up with just two items on it. These two items are of much importance, though, especially if this is all new to you. First and most importantly on the left is the jurisdictionary course. This is your 24-hour crash course on the rules of civil procedure, better known to some as American jurisprudence or AMJUR. The rules of civil procedure are essentially the foundation or structure upon which all law in America rests. So to have a firm and thorough understanding of these rules means to have at least a basic understanding of what's going on in virtually any court scenario that you find yourself in. On the right is the common law default process, mostly known for its high national win rate in most traffic cases throughout the country. At least that's what it's most popularly acquired for. But that is not really why it's on this page. The reason that we have it up here with the jurisdictionary course is when you go through it, you'll notice that it utilizes all of the same fundamental procedures that you learned about in the jurisdictionary course. So it kind of acts as a real-life homework assignment. Also, for a lot of folks, it's their first time committing to action. Folks seem a little more willing to take that first step, probably because of such a high success rate and traffic scenarios being such a common interest in this country today. The common law default, although known purely for traffic purposes, has many other. Truly, it's for most scenarios that you may find yourself in where there's no damage to property or person. It's just some entity is claiming you broke a rule, therefore you must pay a civil penalty. Both of these items are very affordably priced, the jurisdictionary with a contribution of $250 and the common law default at $150. Also on the subject of Your Remedy Is in the Law, most of you are probably familiar now with Americans Restoring America. Every time you visit the homepage of YourRemedyIsInTheLaw.com, you are met with that blue box that pops up asking if you'd like to continue on to the site that you were visiting or stay and visit Americans Restoring America. The reason that we've done this is very simple. We're trying to get folks to explore. There are multiple information providers talking about multiple subjects, as well as many other features and study groups at Your Remedy Is in the Law. And Your Remedy Is in the Law is just one of a couple dozen websites that altogether make up Americans Restoring America. So there's quite a bit for you to see, and we hope that you'll do just that at your leisure. If you have any questions about whether or not we have an information provider that could give you their personal educated opinion about your particular situation, get a hold of us at YourRemediesInTheLaw.com, and we'll be happy to assist you in any way that we can. Statewide communications. If you're not already a member, please do sign up. Tell your friends and family about it. That's that map of the United States that you see on virtually every site that we have. It's a private communications platform that enables folks to speak with one another on a local level based on a very strict, pre-decided topics of discussion. Essentially, how it works is this. A wizard will walk you through a very easy setup. You know, put your name in here, click next. Put your zip code in here, click next, that sort of thing. Then it will walk you through the remainder of the setup. And then you'll get to a point where it will ask you, what are your hot points? What are you interested in? This could range anything from credit card issues, home foreclosure, IRS matters, asset protection, or maybe veterans' rights, maybe personal health rights. Anything that you can think of. If it affects your personal rights in one way or another, you should find it in that list or something that's close enough. When the setup is complete, it puts it all together, much more than you think of a network. Though nothing like a social network. It's very custom. It's very private. But it then puts you in contact with people in your local area that have similar interests to you. The idea here is to put the power of education and communication back in the hands of the common man. If you are in need of legal advice or you need someone to represent you, you're going to have to get an attorney. It's just that simple. But if there was a way, a private place that you could go to discuss matters, your personal things, their personal things, with people that were like-minded, and maybe you jump online one day and you say, this happened to me today. First person comes back and says, well, I disagree with that. I don't think they should be able to do that. I don't think that's fair. Well, that's probably not going to be a tremendous amount of help to you. And maybe the next person comes on and says, well, I'll tell you what I would do where I'm similarly situated. I'd watch these YouTube videos, and then I'd go down there to my local county courthouse, go to the law library, get a law dictionary, and look up these terms. Maybe the next person after that says, those all sound like great ideas. I'd also go to this particular website and check out these educational materials that might assist you in your learning. And then for you to go and do some due diligence on what you're reading, just people's suggestions, people's opinions at all. But if you did some due diligence and educated yourself, maybe the farther you got into it, you discovered that it's not as difficult as you initially thought it would be because you're focused on one single subject. And you get to a point where you've educated to yourself, and now you're handling your own affairs, your own matters. Well, folks, there's nothing illegal or unlawful about that. And that's all we're trying to do here at Straight Run Communications is just very simply get people start talking again. Of course, there's no cost to you for using statewide communications, either signing up or the regular using of it. And so we hope that you'll pass that around. Freedoms Radio. If you're over the road, you don't want to deal with the call process, maybe you're just new to your remedies in the law and you don't yet have your username and password, therefore you can't see the phone number on the pin. By the way, if you'd like to pick up a membership to your remedies in the law, it's very easy. You just simply click the register button. Fill out your basic information there. You'll enjoy the first 30 days for free to evaluate it. After that, it converts to a very affordable $10 a month on your credit card or your PayPal. But every single call is recorded. You have years of archives to go through, a vast wealth of knowledge, as well as many other wonderful features. But if that's not an option for you today, you have freedomsradio.com. Every night, the calls go out over the air at 9 p.m. Eastern live. There's also the question bar there where you can type in a question, click submit. As long as that's during call hours, that will pop up on the moderator screen, and we do our best to read every single one of those questions out over the air as long as they are appropriate. So you don't get the one-on-one with the information provider like you would be by being a private member, but you do get your questions answered. There's no cost to utilize Freedoms Radio, so no matter where you are or your circumstances, you never have to miss a call again if you don't wish. All right, winding down here, I'd like to go over one last bit of housekeeping. This is your caveat emptor, or your buyer beware. For any purchase that you may make at your remedies in the law or any of the other sites underneath the umbrella of Americans Restoring America, when you come aboard and you go with an information provider, you are doing just that. Information providers pay Mr. Edward for advertising at your remedies in the law. This payment would be an expense to that information provider along with any other expenses that they might have associated with your particular product or service. When you contact us, all we simply do is listen to your particular scenario, quickly deduce from a list of folks that honestly most of you would probably never be able to find on your own just simply because they can't be found. And we make those introductions. Not every part on the information provider is always going to be successful. Everybody always hopes for the best. We plan for the best. And believe you me, we aim for the best. But unavoidable things do sometimes happen. And when they do, you have to roll with them and deal with them as you would with anything else in life. Again, we also want to emphasize, though, that the intent is always to be successful. If you have any questions of that, we welcome you to visit www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com/testimonials and see what others have had to say about these products and services. Now, let's touch very quickly on the subject of refunds or the refund policy. There is none. Not if your remedy is in the law, anyway. Of course, when you call the remedy and you go with a particular information provider, again, that is exactly what you're doing. So any discussion of a refund or a credit would be a strict and private matter between you and the information provider, and even then, that's very few and far between. It must be extenuating circumstances. You are expected to have done your due diligence before you commit to any particular process or information provider's time. All right. Lastly, pertaining here to all of the information providers at Your Remedy is in the Law, we'd like you to remind everybody that all of our speakers at these conferences are our guests and should be treated with the highest level of respect. If you disagree with something that a speaker has to say, that's fine. Disagreeing is how we learn, but please, you must always be civil. Besides, if a question is posed properly and then answered properly, then we can all learn something from it.
Well, thank you so very much, Martin. Thank you so very much. Appreciate you giving us that disclaimer and so forth. Everyone that is on the call tonight thus far have been here many times before. So, number one, I would encourage you in your circle of your personal circle of associates and friends, et cetera, to share the calls that we host on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, et cetera, Thursday recorded call, to, you know, just ask them, would you like to be red-pilled or blue-pilled, that type of thing. And to bring new people to the call so they can hear things that they will never hear explained any other way. And, of course, if you try to explain it to them, it's what's that saying in the scriptures is that a prophet is not known from his own town or something to that effect. So this is a wonderful tool to have the opportunity to red pill your friends, number one. Number two, since we have people who have heard this message before, I want to start off by saying and understand that there are clearly delineated two classes of citizenry in our nation. A Supreme Court judge in 1901 in Downs versus Bidwell just came out and said, we have two national governments operating, and chastised the future justices that if they were ever to allow for this other government to come in instead of the Constitution, that it would be a bad day, basically, is what he said. He used other words, but it was a bad day. So with that in place, I'm looking at – I've had several people – I even see one on this call here right now. I see that frequently sends me YouTube videos where, and some of these will have people talking about roadside stops, et cetera, where people are engaging with the traffic policeman, traffic cop, the law enforcement officer, and basically, it's testosterone on parade, which is the last place you want to exercise testosterone. You're dealing with people with guns. The last one I saw today came from a woman that is frequent on our calls, Nancy, and the guy actually said to the cop that if you continue, we're going to have a gunfight right here and now. So he even acknowledged that he was carrying and that he was prepared to shoot it up with him. And there was three of them, and one of him, he was boxed in a car. And, and if you're doing any kind of a firefight, you're always looking for a kill zone to work out of. And somebody sitting in a car and you walking around outside that car, you're the one in the car in the kill zone. No question about it. And yet continues, with his running his mouth. I was absolutely nonplussed that when it was over, the cops never made any kind of aggressive moves. They responded to his saying, well, I guess we're going to have a gunfight. And he says, we don't want a gunfight. The three cops out there were just doing what they were trained to do, and which was to, get him outside the car where they could have handcuffed him and arrested him and done whatever then. The point being is that what I'm saying is that the side of the road is never the place to hold trial. Because it has the greater likelihood of you ending up being executed. If I were pulled over, I'd have my window rolled all the way down. I would be twisted in my seat. Of course, my hips are facing forwards, but I would be twisting to the left, hanging both my hands outside the window, holding my State Department ID. And when the officer said, what's going on? And I'll say, officer, I was told by the State Department that I was to use this in lieu of a driver's license, and that this is the voter ID. I'll just say Voter ID Act, whatever. But that's not the right phrase. And this is what they gave me to present in having any relations with law enforcement of any kind. So this is all I have to offer you. And I'm twisted like this because I want you to know on my right hip is a barrel gun. It's a J-frame Smith & Wesson Airweight, 5 rounds, Hydroshock shells that I have there. On my left thigh is a 1903 Colt. And on my left hip, on my belt, is a buck knife, a utility knife, and in my pants pocket is a gentleman's knife, which is, got one blade and it has a corkscrew for the wine and whatever. But I'm here to not be killed, and I just ask you to tell me how to proceed from here. And that's exactly what I'd do. And if they want to handcuff me and they want to put me in the back of the cruiser and they want to do whatever they want to do, fine, let's do it, because I will have my day in court. I'm happy to be able to share with you that I had a conversation today. I was auditing with John, where one of his students, who is going to trial on his case, that this week, and I've said this before a month ago, but it wasn't done. I don't know why, but that this week, first of next week, civil charges will be filed against the law enforcement officer, deprivation of rights under color of law. And I believe also the prosecutor is automatically going to be charged as well in that case, because all the evidence has been given to him. The prosecutor has demonstrated on the record their flagrant desire to not communicate with the defendant in error. And have thrown up obstacles. Ultimately, they're the only ones that are responsible for these obstacles, where you can't even get transcriptions of prior hearings. They're not being released. The judges ordered them to be released, and they still don't have them yet. So all of this is going on, and I believe that we're going to see some strong activity occurring in that case over the next 30 days. I don't think it will ever get to trial. I think that once the law enforcement officers that arrested him, once the prosecutor, once they have been joined in a deprivation of rights under color of law, Title 1983, 1985, 1986 lawsuit that when that's filed in the record, notifying the judge of these people, in fact, being held under federal charges, for being named for these federal charges. I think that the judge is going to take a very personal look into what's going on. We've shared with you many, many, many times the responsibilities that a federal judge has with regards to compelling the state to provide the evidence that we're speaking of. Let's see if I can find it real quickly here while I'm talking to you. The here we go. Here it is right here somewhere. Somewhere. Here we go. What's jurisdiction to law? I'm looking for not the about challenging jurisdiction. I'm looking for where it talks about the judge being required. I should have pulled that up in ahead of time and be prepared, but I'm not. Oh, here we go. A court has no jurisdiction to determine its own jurisdiction, and for a basic issue in any case before a tribunal is its power to act, and the court must have the authority to decide that question in the first instance. So, you know, if you challenge jurisdiction and the court says, well, we have that, et cetera, you're telling the judge right there, no, you don't. Rescue Army versus Municipal Court of Los Angeles, 171 P. 2nd, 8, and goes on with us some other quotes, says you can't. You're going to have to make this hearing come later, and in the meantime have another hearing where a court can come in and determine jurisdiction. I'm looking for this. Oh, here it is. Courts. This is Lantana versus Hooper, Hopper, 102 F. 2nd, 188. Also, Chicago versus New York, 37 F. Suff, 150. It says, quote, court must prove on the record all jurisdiction facts related to the jurisdiction asserted. That's just right there. Wayne Mutual Life Association versus McDonough. A court cannot confer jurisdiction where none existed and cannot make a void proceeding valid. It's clear and well-established law that a void order can be challenged in any court. These are some of them that deal with that. And then, of course, you've got the very fact that in Schur versus Rhodes, the United States Supreme Court held that the state officials acting by color of law may be held personally liable for the injuries or torts that they cause, and that is that official or sovereign immunity may not be asserted. So there's just so many tools that are available to us, and these are things that will be shown to the courts in this one particular case that we're talking about here, the young man that's John's student. So I see that GW has joined us. GW, I don't know if you caught my earlier comment. We've seen you've been here 4 minutes here. But basically I was sharing that for the last 10 days, 2 weeks, I've had people send me videos, YouTubes, of others having encounters on the side of the road with law enforcement and how they've been handling the, you know, they videotape, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Each one of them, not one of them, was humble and submissive in the sense to protect themselves. Anyway, so I just want to turn the call over to you and let you run with it, please.
Yeah, that's a... That is one of those things. It's very concerning, and I think we do a really good job with our students, and from the past and currently with helping them understand the gravity of the situation that they're in, and to just stay calm and stay, you know, answer questions, but assert the fact that, you know, hey, listen, I don't drive. I travel, and here's my documentation. You know, please, you know, do whatever you need to do, and you know, run my information. So anyway, with that said, we've kind of been beating on that, and I know there's going to be plenty. I mean, there just seems to be plenty of just of circus out there. Run into it all the time, and so you know, all we can do is try to educate people on a consistent basis to handle their affairs properly, and they'll prevail. All of our, you know, students so far have prevailed, and you know, gives them more. Once they do, of course, gives them even more confidence just to be cool and calm and do what they're instructed to do. I'm this week, let's say this last week, some of the conversations I've had were pretty good. One of them in particularly with one of my clients that's kind of a globetrotter who does a lot of flying all over the place. He gave me some really good insight into how to, in the process that we use, there's a slow process and there's a fast process, okay? The slow process is going into the USPS, which we've done for a long, long time. Okay, we've gone into the post office, which is facilitating the situation of getting your passport and doing it in a very slow, you know, 10 weeks, 16 weeks, whatever it takes. Used to be around 2 weeks sometimes, but as things have ramped up and people are using the built up more and more, and the official what we call hold on, I've just been in here wind for just 2 seconds. Situation with that is that we've got a couple good remedies, and one of them is to, of course, once we get all the paperwork together that our students are getting together, we can actually go through a faster process, and it's a one-day situation where you get your passport and your passport card, and the reason that's really, really cool is because everything's uploaded in real time onto your file, which is a requirement from the State Department that they do that in real time, and there's no lag in knowing that your file's being updated and the information is accurate about you when they run it. So that is has been a little bit of a setback for some people because, you know, you got to find a ticket, okay, to fly out of the country, and you know, you're usually trying to find the cheapest ticket, you know, maybe something around $200 or $400 to go to some foreign place, and it's maybe it's a fully refundable ticket, and you know, you can maybe use it at some point, but also, you know, you might have to get it refunded, and that causes an extra burden and, you know, process for most people to deal with, and you know, some people just don't want to go through that, and I understand, you know, that's a little bit of a hassle. So one of my clients said, "Hey, why don't you just use this?" And he gave me two different websites to attain ostensibly what is a ticket, okay, that's legal and that only is going to cost you anywhere from $12 on up if you extend it out to about $20 or $25 at the most. And so it's not going to be something that you're going to be refunded for, but hey, $12 or $25 is not a big deal nowadays. And so I've got about three clients going through that right now, using it, you know, and want to pass this on to Michael and the team, you know, to be able to utilize. And I'm just requesting, Michael, that we just get a little small conversation with you and I and Brother John, just kind of some of the questions I want to ask him on that. It should only take about 10 minutes, maybe at the most, if
sure,
John doesn't get too weird.
Just give me a shout after you're up and running.
Okay, all right. And then pass it on to you and John and have that as also a remedy for people. Seems to be really good. So I just wanted to put that out there. And so, other than that, of course, this call is about the understanding of correcting your status and doing it at the highest point in the land, which is the U.S. State Department, and of course, acquiring a brand new passport with your new corrected status and being able to use it, and know how to use it, and train to use it. And so, with that said, you know, we've been doing it and been very, very successful. And there's, I mean, just every week, I've got people that contact me through others that just are, of course, been told that they need to jump this hoop and this hoop and do a lot of things that sound like it's going to be a remedy, but it ends up being a kind of a black hole, so to speak. And we're doing something that is very simplified with, it's very targeted with correcting your status at the one place where you really want it corrected, so that when you're, you know, pulled over on the side of the road, or you're going through the ticketing, or you're coming back through customs or whatever, that information pops up about you that separates you from the rest of the crowd. And so that's you know, and of course, as we kind of talk about, it's very necessary. This is a real first step, foundational step, in really getting the understanding of who you are and who you're not, as far as your citizenship as being an American national, okay, and instead of being classified as property and franchise of the federal government on their records as a U.S. citizen or a United States citizen. So it's not, you know, I have to explain, it's not the coup de grace, it's not the silver bullet, it's not really the thing that's going to, you know, you just do it and then you just can just sit back on your laurels. This is really a foundational thing, and then there's other steps that you want to take to solidify that status and move in it, such as, of course, the other service providers that Michael has, which is Bernie on Saturday night, and also another one, which is Sarah Slavin on Wednesday nights, and doing some of those things to really put together the proper foundational elements to where you can really succeed. And then another one on top of that, of course, is that at some point I'm thinking Mike will probably have, you know, some more information, some more input through another service provider that can help people with their actual land. Okay, and I've got one of my clients is going through that right now in the state of Washington. And so, anyway, that said, I think it's probably time that we can open up the call for especially new first-time visitors and of course, people that have questions. So, Michael, if you'd like to do that, go ahead.
Sure would. We have no first-time callers, sadly. However, I've asked the people on the call, and I'll ask again since the calls has doubled and almost tripled in size since the call started, to just say with you that we don't have any first-time callers tonight. And for me, that's not a good sign. We need to be sharing what we're doing. Scripture talks about that no prophet is respected in his own, from his own town, from his own city. And likewise, your ability to convince anyone in the things and the matters that we're talking about is less likely than when they
hear from the expert,
like GW or other information providers, then that put their finger on the law, and you know they're just, you know, they're gurus, you know, to these people. So it's, if you would just assist and do what you can to help us bring new people to the call, and that they can hear these messages, please. Press star 2 on your keypad, ladies and gentlemen, to raise your hand. Press star 2 on your keypad to raise your hand. Those of you on Freedom's Radio, you'll see to the center right of your monitor the silhouette of a rectangle laying on its side. Left click into that rectangle, and you will be able then to type your comment or your question. Underneath that silhouette of a rectangle, you'll see a place to put your name, some other information. Fill that in if you would, please. Hit submit. And when you hit submit, it pops up on my end, and I can then lend my voice to your comment, to your question, and get an answer from the information provider. Again, press star 2 on your keypad, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody has done that yet. Let me refresh just to be sure. Sometimes the board gets a little sluggish. Here we go. Ron out of Cocoa, Florida. Go ahead, Ron.
I'm going to try to stir the pot a little bit here.
Okay.
How can we, or should we even try to introduce this situation to an officer, whether on the side of the road or an acquaintance, by
from
fault?
First off, I start
how do
off
we approach
with,
the officer?
All right, remember, once we were calling a subject to a king, I have myself, I have printed that out. I have paid to bind it nicely with clear vinyl on either side of the printing. And if I'm sitting at Panera's and I see a group of officers come in, I'll go out to my car. And if there's six of them there, I'll get six booklets. And I'll just say, gentlemen, if you don't mind, I'd like to buy you coffee and I'd like to buy you lunch. And I'd like you to read these. Take these home to read at your leisure. And there's contact information if you like. That's how I do it. And I would share, otherwise I'd also share the website American by Birth. I don't tell them correctmystatus.com because that they don't understand what that is yet. So I just say American by Birth. You're born here in America, right? Well, AmericanByBirth.com. Go there. And then if you'll see where it says, once we were calling a subject to a king, click on that and you have a PDF you can download and read at your leisure. That's what I do. GW?
Yeah, if that's where God is taking you, you know, if that's where the Holy Spirit you think is leading you, then do it. I have actually never really had much interaction with current police officers. I get some interaction with attorneys, but mostly it's of course, you know, people that, and I get a lot of people that are brought to me, so that's I'm not out there beating the bushes, so to speak. Okay. But if that's, you know, if that's a direction you really feel the Holy Spirit is leading in, then do it. it seems to me that most people that are really in a position to hear you are usually in more of a situation where they're seeking a remedy. You know, they got some extenuating circumstances that they're trying to figure out, and this usually is you know, you have their attention when they're you know, up against a rock in a hard place. And so, you know, cops don't usually fall into that situation, you know. So it's kind of tough, you know, from my perspective. So go where God's leading. That's all I can say, Ron.
Thank you.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments or thoughts, Ron?
Not at this time, thank you. I'm in the process of getting ready for the 11th.
Well, on the 10th, sure. Remember to give me a call, and we're going to be conferencing you privately with GW just so he can once more go over the inventory list and share with you what your expectations are.
All right.
So thank you, Ron. Press star 2 on the keypad. Again, if we don't have anyone raising their hand asking questions, it's going to be an early call, and that's not exciting. Kent, I love Kent's questions. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, Mike, I want to ask you a question. I find that when you try to give literature to people, even if it's nicely bound or whatever, that people are kind of adverse to reading anything other than something they can scan in 2 seconds. What has been your results with what you were talking about, for example, at Panera's? I'm interested
in No follow-up. Graciously being thanked. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm. And how long
no
have you
follow-up.
Tried this? How long have you been doing this finding process and, you know, handing something to somebody that looks really good?
Since I began writing it. In other words, once we were calling a subject to a king, primer in jurisdiction, that is a collection of a lot of people's work. Like there's a dozen different authors that
mm-hmm.
are in that underbelly. I just assimilated it under one title. And I should go back and try to find do copy and paste and put into a search engine to see if I can't find the actual authors. I did a few of them and just found that there were multiple authors saying the same thing. So none of it is really am I able to give credit to the author. So I just share it like that.
Well, I'm finding that unless people have a definite problem that they need solved and they're at the end of their wits as to how to solve it, you know, they may talk to you for a few minutes. You know, they may say they agree with you. But, you know, they're going to go on about business just as it usually is and not do too much about it.
Sure.
Now, I don't say that to discourage anybody. You know, I'm not going to be discouraged. But, you know, I mean, I think that's just the fact of life today. Do you think it would be better if we, you know, if we handed out something in a more technological format than giving them a piece of paper that's bound? Or
what do you mean more of a technological format?
Well, I mean, like, you know, if you really came upon people that you thought might do something with this information, like a thumb drive or something that they could plug in and get, you know, preliminary information. I don't know. I'm just
The thing about giving the printed material to Leo's is that they don't have to be concerned about, you know, what's in that thumb drive that's going to crash my computer and things like that. And the last page of what I hand to them gives them websites and links, et cetera. And it hasn't happened yet, but if a Leo said to me, well, why should I know this? I would come back to them and say, well, honestly, there's this thing called deprivation of rights under color of law. It's federal. There is a civil application under Title 42, Section 1983, 1985, 1986, And in criminal, it's under Title 18, Section 242. You gentlemen coming upon the wrong party who is knowledgeable in the law, well-disposed to use it, and very sensitive to his claim of right, you could find yourselves on the receiving end of some very, very bad news after litigation through the court system. And I'm really sharing this with you because I'm looking out for you or wanting to look out for you. Nothing else. Mm-hmm. You need to be informed. So.
Okay. I was interested in your comments and what kind of results you have received to date. So.
I have not received any positive results. Nobody's thanked me. Nobody's reached out to me that have my contact information from those handouts. So I don't know if they were trashed or left behind or what, but nobody from Panera's handed them back to me, and I've not had any phone calls or any responses from them so far.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your comments. I appreciate it. Thank you also, Greg.
No problem.
All right.
And Greg, I'm not going to ask any philosophical. Greg, I'm not going to ask any philosophical type questions tonight.
Okay. All right.
I'm giving you a break.
Give me a break tonight. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
I really ought to put you and GW on a private conference call sometime during the afternoon, early evening.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have some things to share. With that having been said, I'll go to Charlie and mute you out, Kent, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank
well,
you.
Sir. Well, I'm not sure. I mean, if Kent's not going to share anything philosophical, I mean, I'm tempted to wonder what's the value of the call. No, I'm just kidding. I really appreciate, as you do, Kent's questions and responses. So, anyway, along the line of, I haven't read that primer yet. As I've said before, it's printed, and there's just a lot of things I need to do. But anyway, in that, what you refer to, the sections that address under color of law, et cetera, are those, I'm assuming those are printed in there, in that document. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask. Yeah. Perfect. That doesn't surprise me. Just had to ask.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Anything else? Any philosophical questions?
You know, I'm not at that level yet. So, so thank you, though.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
GW?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Next question.
Anyone else? Press star 2 while you're thinking about doing that. I'm going to check Freedom's Radio, see if anybody has written a question in there. Nope. Not a question. Lots of people there, but no questions. Well, we're going to have a slow call. Hey, Brent, there you are. What's going on, brother?
Hey, I'm doing about 68 miles an hour in Oklahoma, heading westbound.
What's the posted speed?
Oh, it's 70.
Must be an I-40, huh?
I-40, you got it. Been down this road so many times, I know it so well.
Me
anyways,
too.
The thought came up. I've got a little packet of information like you guys were talking about in my truck. Not in this U-Haul, though. And, you know, let's say I've had several state troopers around me. And I'm hauling a cargo trailer that has no plate on it. I have the manufacturer certificate of origin with me somewhere. I think it's in this bag over here. But let's say I get pulled over for no plate on the cargo trailer. What's your suggestion on how to deal with that situation?
Well,
do you have weapons with you?
You have any weapons on you?
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, I would be using your passport card in that situation.
Yeah. obviously.
Yeah, yeah. That's all I can. That's all I can say.
I would never carry the original MSO. Never carry the original MSO. Make a color print of it. Write copy. But I'd never carry the original. All they got to do is take it from me. It's gone.
Well, okay. I mean, I'm moving the entire household, so it has to go with me.
Okay. All right. Well, just pray in the spirit. Thank God for just his preservation and his protection and move down the road.
So it really comes down to the personality of the police officer and how, you know, how the conversation goes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just let him know that you want to comply with anything and everything that makes him feel safe, that you're there to assist him in doing a very difficult job, and that you're happy to do and respond in whatever manner he wants you to respond to.
Yeah, that's a good reminder. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else, Brent?
No, that's it.
All right.
All right.
Thank you. Next, Charlie has returned, and following Charlie's Kent. Go ahead. Charlie. Unmute your phone, Charlie. Charlie.
I'm getting there. Yeah, okay. You got me now, right?
I got you.
Eventually. So the Leo that maybe asked some questions and you say, well, I'm really just trying to help you out, sir. You know, just make you aware of some things and however you say that. So let's say the Leo, you know, reads it and not fully understanding what I will have with this correction of status, how does that officer maybe act differently? I mean, how does he act differently?
When he pulls you over, you hand him, you say, officer, I really don't understand how all this works. This is the National ID Act. From the State Department of the United States, I was instructed that if I am ever pulled over, if I have any interface with any government entity, that this is what
I'm sorry,
them.
I have to interrupt. I got to take this call. I'm babysitting. So I'm sorry. Go to the
okay.
next person.
Take care. All right. Bye bye. Kent, welcome back.
Okay. So I want to comment on what Brent was saying, as far as hauling utility trailers. Open trailers, closed box trailers in this country. I mentioned this before, but not in relation to trailers. If you want to just handle this conventionally and not, you know, make it a thing about your rights and, you know, whether you're in commerce or not, you can look at Polk's Manual, Peck's Manual, National Automobile Dealers Association, and you can also look at the manual that the AAA publishes annually. And they talk about trailers and trailer licensing and registration, and the states are really quite different on how they handle all of that. And it is possible, last I knew, to transport a trailer without a license plate on it when you may have just purchased it or under some remote statute that appears in another state. So you really don't have to look at this issue unconventionally or make it all about rights issue. Within their own system, you can generally handle the trailer issue and the non-plating or what pieces of paper you produce when they want to see something for the trailer.
That's good. And the other thing I forgot to mention, which is, I believe, very important, is the bill of sale. In addition to the MSO, the bill of sale.
Mm-hmm.
So never have the originals, always be using the photocopies, color copies, you know, to look as close to the original as possible. But do write on them, stamp thin red lines, lettering says copy. And, you know, let's just let them know if and when we have to go to court with this, if that's what you end up having to do, then I'll be having the original available at that time for inspection if the court requires it.
Very good.
Okay. Anything else, Kent?
No, I would just say that the comments I made obviously require some preparation. The time to have that ready is not when you're actually stopped, but to know what you're doing before you're going to take that trailer out on the road.
Right. Yeah.
True.
Okay. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. I think this is going to be about the end of the call tonight. It's shorter than usual. One more time, press star 2 on your keypad to raise your hands, and I'll open up your mic. Hey, Brian. Go ahead, Brian.
I'm Michael GW. Can you hear me?
Perfectly.
Sure can.
I've got a friend of mine. He's a criminal defense attorney, former police officer. Been trying to talk him onto the call, but he's got a busy life like everybody. He's interested, though. I was informing him about the terrible incident y'all were talking about last week, and it kind of fired him up. He was wondering if there was any information on it and that he could look into with regard to that.
Send me an email. I'll look for the video that I was sent, and he can look at the video.
Okay.
It's the officer wearing a chest cam.
Okay. Yeah, I'll send you an email, Michael. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll do that. Also, too, spring to print out a color copy of Once We Were Calling a Subject to a King and hand it to him, or just put the URL down and say, here, click this, click that, and you're done.
I think I've sent him that. I don't know if he's read it, but maybe I can forward it to him again. But, he's got, like, 4 kids, and so he's – his time is, hard to get, but I'll keep at him.
Sure. Anything else, sir?
No, that's it. I look forward to getting up with you this week, finally, to get the process down for the Social Security number. See if we can get that done.
I'll be waiting on you.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. GW, any closing comments?
No, that's it for tonight.
Well, I sincerely appreciate your time, GW, that you afford us every week. I know the people that are on the call do. I want you to know that you hit consistently not high numbers. I would just like to see new faces. That's all I was talking about.
Sure.
In addition to these good people who have shown up here tonight. So, thank you all for joining us. Remember, tomorrow night, John will be returning. He will be part 4 of allodial title will be his topic, unless he's changed it from what he told me last. And that's what we can expect. Encourage you to be on the call and, again, share your friends about this important topic. Until then, good night, everyone, and be well.
Mm-hmm.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.